Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Foussard.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife. Hey, ghosties.
Hello.
We did it. We're doing things differently today.
We're trying, y'all. We're trying. We've been here for a minute.
We're back to our 1 hour sound check sessions. So that's good.
Yeah. We've decided we're going to try to do some recording not in the studio and see how that works for several reasons, one of which we'll get into here in a minute. But yeah, we're gonna try this out. So, you know, there may be some technical difficulties. Just bear with us. We're figuring it
bear
out.
Bear with us. We're getting through here. Yeah, but yeah. I do need to point something out. The last episode that came out, we started by talking about the weather. And I was Miss Grumpy Pants. Very frustrated that it was 70 degrees in February in Colombia. Not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that aired, I found myself in upstate New York in sub-zero temperatures, 20 to 30 inches of snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think the universe took me a little too seriously. I did not want to go back to that cold. But so just kind of like a little bit of explanation why we've taken a bit of a 2 week break. Last time it was Eva's life and this time it was my life because my grandmother from my mom's side had passed away. She was just shy of 97. She was a leap year baby. And so I and my family flew up to upstate New York in the middle of winter, which I normally make a point to not do that. Mm-hmm. And little did we know upstate New York was going to have like the worst snowfall they've ever had since the 1970s. No. So definitely, I love cold weather. Love it. I do not want to see snow again for at least a couple of years. There's a reason I don't go up there in the winter. So there's that. But on the subject, though, we kind of wanted to talk about, because I have realized that grieving as a solopreneur is just different than grieving while I was working at a company. And I wanted to talk about the differences that took place and the things that I made sure I did to kind of allow myself some grace through this process. Because I think it's important to respect the grieving process and not try to just power through it. In my late 20s, early 30s, I made that mistake and I just powered through it. And down the road, it was a lot worse because of it. And now that I'm older and wiser, I'd said, like, I need to feel all my feelings. And, you know, when I was in New York, I realized I'm definitely the overly emotional cousin. I have like 11 cousins for the record. I have a lot of them. And I'm definitely the extremely sensitive emotional one. But I'm proud of that because I feel like I'm allowing myself to feel my feelings again to get through this. But doing so, I made a couple steps to make sure that I could get through this. Because the biggest thing, Eva, and I'm sure you've had to deal with this, especially with your dog passing recently, is like there's no one else to lean on for work. So you're kind of at the mercy of how your clients take it. I will say I found I'm very fortunate because my clients were so willing to like just let me have that time. None of them bothered me while I was out. Some of them sent me flowers. I got Starbucks gift cards. Like I was it was just very sweet. Right. Yeah. And so I just think that the things that I did that I feel like that went well was the week that she passed. I just kind of said, I got through like the day it happened. I had like a meetings in the morning. I'm like, I am going to power through these meetings because they are already on the schedule and I'm going to get through them. But after that, I kind of just said, I'm going to cancel the rest of my meetings for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I allowed myself that and I just kind of checked out for a little bit. But that first week, I still made sure I canceled my meetings, but I made sure I'm still getting all my work done.
Right.
And that was kind of nice. It's a little bit of a distraction. But Eva, man, once I got towards the end of the week, mm-hmm. and I wrapped up those projects, that's when all the emotions hit. Yeah. And it's just like, then I lost it. Oh, and I'm going to try to get through this episode without crying, because I think it's just such an important topic to touch upon. But it was just, I'm proud of myself that I gave myself that time, because I knew the following week was when I was actually physically going to be out, because I needed to get to upstate New York for her wake and funeral services. And that in and of itself is just a haul, right? To try and get upstate in the middle of winter. So, so there's that. But I knew when I'm there, I need to make sure I'm just not available. So I set up my auto responses. That was the week I got no work done, and I didn't plan to get any work done. And I made sure all my clients were fully aware that I was going to be out. But it's just a different level of stress to get through, because when I worked at a company, someone could cover for me.
Right.
And yes, I could probably contract some things out, but by the time that's said and done, it's like,
sure.
Well,
you might as well have done it.
Yeah. I might as well have done it. Right. Yeah. So it's just so different now that I don't have anyone to cover for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm very appreciative, because this could have been very different if I had extremely demanding clients. Right. Mm-hmm. And if they had a deadline that happened to be while I was out, this could have gone very, very differently. So I think that it's probably good that I've done a good job making sure that I set boundaries. And I like to make sure that that's clear too, the importance of setting your boundaries. Because I remember when I was up in New York, I made a comment to some of my cousins, because and my husband and my sister, and we were talking about auto response messages on emails. Mm-hmm. And they were saying how like people were still trying to contact them, and they put, you know, it might be slow to respond or things like that. I'm going to be out. They didn't necessarily say why they're going to be out. And I looked at them, I was like, I flat out put that I'm on bereavement and I will not be available, and I will get back to them Monday. And no one's tried to contact me.
Right.
And I kind of realized in that moment, like, it's okay to put some strong boundaries in an outed office when you are going through something that large. And I think that's clear, because everyone else was trying to be contacted. I'm like, okay, no, I'm getting through this. But I think the thing that I really wasn't prepared for was once I got the projects wrapped up, just how much all the emotions were going to hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And then just emotionally not being able to work once that hit, which almost causes more stress on top of it. So I know I'm rambling a bit, because I wanted to do this episode because I just want, one, it's therapeutic for me in a way, but two, I know I'm not the only one that we all have to experience death, unfortunately, in one way or another. And it's just, I am very proud of the fact that I have established good, healthy boundaries. And I realize that about myself, that I know what I need to grieve. And sometimes when you haven't had to experience a big death in your life before, you don't really know what process you need to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I at least know what I need personally to get through it. And everyone grieves differently. And we all, everyone says that. And so I know what I need. Now, what I did not anticipate was when I was going to come back, I was then going to get an upper respiratory infection, which has made that itself, Eva, has added more stress, because I came back and I was like, all right, I was gone for a week. I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to get all this work done. And I physically could not. I was just like hacking up a lung, which is part of the reason we haven't been recording, because I did not sound good enough to be on a microphone. And man, that was stressful. But it's just wild, because it's a different level, because I don't have anyone that I can hand things off to. So, and the other thing is this is not the first significant death in my life. This is my third grandparent that I've lost during my adult years.
Sure.
But previous two was when I was at another company. So
sure.
I had my work covered. Someone, you know, people were checking in on me. At the same time, here's what I will say. The one nice thing with being a solopreneur was I didn't have any coworkers constantly, because they're always the worst, right? They're always the ones that are like, hey, not the worst, that was mean, but they're the ones that are like, I bet I can just ask her a question, right? Where it was like a client might actually respect the boundaries a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag, because I think the negative is I didn't have anyone to cover my work. The positive is I feel like I allowed myself to grieve in a more positive way because I was a solopreneur.
Yeah.
But have you ever had to kind of, I know you've had to deal with death in your life, but
do you
feel like there's been differences between when you were working at professionally or at another company and then versus being a solopreneur? I don't know if you've had to, well, you've definitely gone through some things.
I've gone through something. Yeah. Yeah. So I've lost all four of my grandparents and a parent by the time I was 30. So I lost two grandparents, one when I was in high school, one when I was a freshman in college. So and one was when I was a senior in high school. So pretty close together.
Yeah.
Opposite, different sides of the family. And then I lost two grandparents in my 20s. I was working at two different companies. So it was just, you know, I mean, a similar experience to what you've had is where you just, you tell your boss you're not coming in, right?
Yeah.
And somebody handles it. I lost my dad on my 30th birthday. And so I was working in my corporate job. And that was, I mean, losing grandparents hard. There's no ranking in grief, right?
But yeah.
It was really hard to lose my dad. And and the anniversary of that's like coming up in a few days. So I'm a little bit more emotional right now than I would be. But I remember it felt so fast. Like I told him I couldn't come in, and we didn't do like formal services for my dad, because that's just not what is traditional for our tribe. So like we didn't do like a funeral and stuff. So I didn't need a lot of time off for that. My family doesn't live far away. But it was so surreal that like my dad was gone. And then like within a few days I was back at work. Right.
Right.
Like it was like this big piece of my heart is gone. And like,
My life is forever changed now, but I'm back to work.
Let's go update a brochure. And then I found it was much harder in the coming weeks. And that was what was a little bit harder to sometimes explain, that like it'd been a month and I was like, not hysterical all the time, but like it'd been a month. And like, I had a day that felt like the day had happened. Right. And so that was always hard to navigate. And I had some very compassionate, coworkers and a boss at the time. And so it was fine, but it was, I don't know. I have not had a death in my family other than my dog, but that's not the same. I mean, losing a pet's significant.
That's still very significant, but yes, I feel like there's different. Yeah.
Yes.
But I think what you did say where, you know, a month had passed and you had one of those bad days, because it comes in waves and you can't always prepare for it. Like I came back and I was doing fine. And then I think I said she was a leap year baby, but like February 28th came here. She didn't have a birthday this year, but like it hit hard because like this would have been the day that we celebrated her.
Right. Right.
And it's like, you just don't know when those emotions are going to hit you.
Right.
So, and I think for me, I get so hyper fixated on, because I got my Tetris calendar and I have all my projects worked out. And so like, for me, I think I get hyper fixated on the fact, like, I know when I can't work. I know when I can't produce anything creative. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm in that mindset. So I get stressed when it's like, okay, well, now I got to figure out what can I move around. And it's kind of that metaphor that you've brought up on the podcast before with the rubber balls versus the glass balls.
Yeah.
And in those moments, a lot of things felt like glass balls before. And now suddenly it's like, okay, no, I think pretty much all of them are rubber in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you gotta let them bounce.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had a death in the family since I've been self-employed, but I went through something that is like a death. It's like a very long, slow death. So I got divorced. It was official, I don't know, four or five months ago now, but the process between separating and getting divorced was 15 or 16 months long. And if anybody has ever gotten divorced or just ended a very long-term relationship, the government doesn't have to be involved for your heart to be broken. You know that you don't wake up one day and it's just over. Like, the path that leads up to separating is usually significant as well. So, yeah. You know, I went through that, which was like a slow death. And that was really challenging while owning my own business, because on the one hand, I don't have a boss. So like, if I need to go lay down in the middle of the day for 2 hours,
yeah,
or I need to go on a walk, or I need to cry, or I need to call my friends and just yell into the void about you know, whatever, and let myself have the feelings that you need to have, I can do that in the middle of the day and nobody's here to tell me otherwise. But on the same note, like, nobody's here to help, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword, because there were certainly days where I needed to shut down, right?
Right.
In the middle of the day. And like, I'm a single mom and I live with my son. And so like, sometimes I have to have those main character moments when he's not here, right? Like,
yeah,
I gotta,
exactly.
Sometimes, right? And then like, part of the process too, because this is grief both ways, right? Like,
yeah,
grief can come from a number of ways. So many people have told me about this in different aspects of my life, but a lot of people told me about this as I was beginning the process of getting divorced. And it's that, you know, have your feelings, feel your feelings, do what you got to do, and just have them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's hard in the lives that we have to sometimes make the time for it. But like, really, like, we live these hyper scheduled lives. And it's like, I have looked at my calendar and been like, I do not have time for the emotional breakdown that I deserve today.
Like, right? No, I've had that same conversation. Like,
yes,
I can't break down today. I will break down tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I will break down. And so that's just such a weird way to like, look at things. And like, I don't want to paint this picture that the whole 15, 16 months I was just crying. There's plenty of days I was totally fine, right?
And sure. Yeah.
Plenty of days that I was happy, and there's plenty of days that I was joyous, and there's plenty of days that I was just okay. But there was a lot of time, and it would come in waves, and it would come in the most random ways. And it was just hard. And then I always got to this place where like, do I disclose to my clients what's happening in my personal life?
Right.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like when like my situation dealing with the death of a grandparent, it's mm-hmm. obviously something I am absolutely okay sharing that with a client. I also wear my emotions on my sleeve anyway. They were going to find out.
Sure.
But it is different when you're dealing with a matter that is a little bit more private or maybe a little bit more personal, such as going through a divorce. It's like, okay, so can I share with my clients what's mm-hmm. going on with me? And sometimes it kind of, depending on the client, they're like, oh yeah, no, take your time, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes it's like, well, are they going to view it as a negative? Like, I have all this stuff going on. Are they going to not give me work because of it?
Right, right. It's also, it's taboo still for some
people. It is. It's very much taboo.
To get divorced, even without context. Like, they don't have to know any context for what happened. And so particularly living in the South, sometimes my concern was like, are they going to judge me because I'm getting divorced?
And now you're a single mom. And are you going to have time to do all those things?
Right, right. So, yeah, I ended up disclosing to some clients. I mean, there were times that, like, there was just no way around it without sounding worse than what it was. Like, I can't do something that day because I have something that I can't move.
Yeah.
And some of these clients I'm very familiar with. So there's a conversation about like, okay, well, can you get on call instead? Or, you know, and they're not trying to pry. We're just trying to figure out schedules for everybody.
Right.
And then, so sometimes like I would just end up telling some of these clients like what was going on, because if I'm vague about it, if I tell them I have a court date and I have to move your meeting.
Yeah. Like, why do you have a court date?
Now it sounds like even worse. I'm like, don't
worry. What'd you do, Eva?
I'm just getting divorced. Don't worry. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. And it's also interesting because I got so, you know, at the end of 15 or 16 months, like it's part of my narrative now. Like just yes. like now, like I find myself mentioning to people, not just at work, but sometimes like in personal circumstances, if it's relevant, I'll mention that I'm divorced. And sometimes it catches people off guard because, you know, because I just say it so matter of factly.
Right.
Because it's just part, it's just, it is a thing that happened to me now. But I was talking to somebody recently and she and I had set up a time to meet for like lunch. And there was, you know, somebody wrote it down on the calendar wrong. It totally happens to the best of us. Like, no big deal. It was just lunch.
Been there.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal. And so when she saw my missed calls later in the day, she's like, I'm almost positive we said we were going to meet on Wednesday. And I replied, oh, I know that we're not meeting on Wednesday because I'm getting divorced on Wednesday. I promise you.
I promise you we're definitely not meeting.
I promise you it wasn't Wednesday, but I could do next Wednesday. Yeah. She was just kind of taken aback. And it's just one of those times where it's like, well, I just know that I wouldn't have put it down for Wednesday because I was getting divorced on Wednesday. Yeah. And so it's, I don't know. I think about it all the time, going through the divorce with my dog dying, just, you know, the stressors of being a mom when I'm sick. And then sometimes too, like just the life of being a creative, like I am happy that I don't have to like answer to anybody and tell anybody why I got in bed at, you know, and took a nap at 1 o'clock because that's what I needed to do.
I will say getting through this grieving process, and I'm still very much in it, but then adding the upper respiratory infection on top of that, I am very grateful that I am currently working for myself. Because like you've said earlier in the podcast, I can pick and choose. Like, I just need to go lay down. I need to just lay down and sleep.
I'm fine. Yeah.
And do nothing. I know I am responsible enough to finish my deadlines.
Right.
But it's just, it made me appreciate this life even more because I have that. I can at least say like, okay, now I'm getting a break right now and I just give it to myself.
Right. And then I still through the divorce and even not through the divorce, I feel this way all the time. I still have to tell myself that it's okay to not do anything.
Yeah.
I struggled with that over the weekend, and I have my son this weekend and he was in bed and I could have been doing stuff.
Yep.
And I was just like, I was in bed watching Judge Judy. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures. I love a Judge
Judy. We all have our things.
We all have our things, man. I told you, Judge Judy and 90 Day Fiance. I'm a refined and cultured woman, but I'm also a trash panda sometimes. And I'm not saying I'm sorry. It's totally fine.
I basically have survived off of Real Housewives. Anything on Bravo and Traitors right now. And you know what? Traitors has really gotten me through death.
Yes, sir.
Which is probably ironic because they're murdering people, but it's fine. It's getting me through it.
Look, we're not here. I would say we listen and we don't judge, but I definitely listen and I definitely judge.
Oh,
but
I do both right actively. Not me in this moment, but we are actively judging.
Right. But yeah, I felt guilty not doing anything. I felt that way several times during the divorce, particularly because like, so I'm running a business. Right. So that takes a tremendous amount of time. I'm raising a child, that takes a lot of time regardless of your circumstances, but that
no matter what, that's a lot of time.
Right. But it takes a lot of time, like particularly when you're the only person home most of the time with them. Right. I have a house, I have a dog, I have a podcast, I have a board, like I have all this stuff to do. And that's just the stuff I have to do. That's not the stuff I like to do. Like going to Pilates and painting and reading and all that kind of stuff. And so I have a very busy life, and I still constantly, even if I plan to not do something on a Sunday, have a hard time not feeling guilty about it. I think I texted you one time last summer when I was like, I'm going to go to the pool at noon. Is that okay? And you're like, Yes, it's fine. Are you getting your work done? I know. I'm not even going to ask. I know you're going to get your work done. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it's, this flexible scheduling is like, it is, I thrive in this, but I think you get into this hustle mindset and then it's hard to forgive yourself but give yourself the space to just be a human in all of this.
Yeah. That, I think for me too, and I'm like this in almost every aspect of my life, but I'm either all in or not in at all. and it's, I'm sure my nutrition coach, Jenny, is going to listen to this and be like, oh yeah, that's accurate, because I will have weeks where I'm in beast mode and I'm doing all the workouts every day, like lifting the 25 pound weight, like I'm killing it. And then I have a week where it's just like, I just need to curl into a ball, do nothing. Right. And I've talked about this with her because I'm like, I'm all in or I'm not. And I have to do a better job about finding that balance.
Right.
And I think even work-wise, I see myself doing that, because since I allowed myself to be all out of work this past, it was only supposed to be a week, but it ended up being two because I was sick. But now that I'm like, I'm feeling good again, I'm feeling healthier again, I'm back at it, I am in a better mindset now.
Yeah.
Now I'm like extreme work mode and I'm back to my Tetris calendar and I'm like overloading myself. And it's like, I need to do a better job of finding that balance in between, because I think I wouldn't hit walls as quickly I wouldn't get to the point where I'm all out if I would just allow myself to kind of like take those moments of breaks.
Yeah.
Like you need a rest day if you work out. I think I need rest days at work.
Yeah. I'm the worst about staying up late and working too much at night and then getting up the next day and having a really, really hard time focusing.
Right.
Because I stayed up late and I didn't give myself any time to decompress. Like I worked and I went to sleep and I got up and I started my day. And then I find that often, not always, but often I'm then less productive than I would have been if I just worked more of a traditional schedule and given myself some space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's hard. It's hard when you're self-employed, particularly when you're trying to grow your business and build your business. And I mean, I've been doing this now, I think it was my 5-year businessversary or whatever you want to call it, last month. And that's great. But I'm still growing this. Like I'm still definitely where I'm saying yes to pretty much anything I can.
For sure.
And so what do you do when you got to say yes so you can keep going? Like I'm just not at a point where I can really be turning down a lot of business. So you stay up late and you work a lot.
Yep.
And so
I've gotten a really bad habit of working on Sundays. And I think it's just because no one, like, I don't have any clients working on a Sunday. So no one's bothering me. So it's almost like I can get some things done. And, but that now it's just turning into a bad habit, because now it's just like, I looked back at one of my, because I still track all my time, which my former boss, David Campbell, is probably like, ha ha ha, because he's Mr. Timesheet. But I still track all my hours and I'll go back and look at it. It's like, there was one month I'm like, man, there is only one day that didn't have an hour log. One day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was visually, I could see it. And I'm like, I've got to break that habit. Mm-hmm. And it might not be, it's not like 8 hours or more every single day, but it's still, it's like, I've got to figure out what I can do to not have to have those bad habits.
I pulled my hours to do my invoices yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't log retainer work. I don't log board work. I don't log podcast work. I don't log.
No. Well, I'll say I don't do, podcasts or anything like anything through like volunteer work. I'm not logging any of that. Like that's just strictly billable stuff.
Yeah. But I don't log. If I don't bill it by the hour, I don't log it, but still.
Yeah.
I think there was only 3 days in all of February that I didn't log something, but those days, I guarantee at least one of them, I know for sure, maybe two. I did retainer work, so I didn't work one day in the whole month of February, maybe two.
Yeah. Right?
And it's just tricky. It's tricky. So like I don't have an answer to that. I try to come to these recordings with ideas and sound bites and thoughts.
Yeah.
And well, this is what I would tell you to do. I don't have anything to contribute because I work like a maniac. I work like a crazy person. And I don't know when that's going to smooth out. I'll figure out something at some point. But as of right now, like it's just the nature of how it is.
Right.
It is.
And I mean,
I'll update y'all when I have an answer.
I think back too, and I'm like, I'm definitely working smarter than I did previously.
Cause
I feel like because I have that flexibility, I kind of can work when I need to work. Whereas before it was like, you're working 8 to 6 or whatever. And like it's scheduled hours into the office, out of the office. And it's just like this is when you're working, but then I'd have to work on the weekends on top of that. And so now it's like, I have this bad habit where I'm working on Sundays now, but I can at least like, if I need to end my day a little bit early to go do something with my daughter, I have a little bit more flexibility now. So it's just, there's pros and cons to all of it. And we don't have any solutions for this, but this has been very therapeutic. So I'm here for it. And I bet everyone listening is like, girl, me too. Me freaking too.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, you know, we've done some stuff about time management and trying not to burn out and stuff like that. But I think the reality is we all have very busy lives. I mean, very busy days. And so I don't know that I'm going to have an answer for anybody anytime soon. I mean, my to-do list is crazy, but every time I feel overwhelmed by that, I'm just incredibly thankful.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the work. I'm thankful that I'm busy. I'm thankful, especially going through a divorce and scaling my business during that time. I'm thankful for so many things that stress me out. I'm not thankful for all the things that stress me out. There's a few that y'all could and it's not business related, but there's a few things in my personal life that could just improve and it would make me very happy.
Sure.
But most things that stress me out, I'm thankful for. And so that's just a very unique perspective that we're incredibly fortunate to be in a line of work where we're both really passionate about what we do. And this work is an extension of us.
Yep.
And we come on here every week and talk about how busy we are. And people listen to that. And like, just, I remember in those early days, there were early days in my business because I started during COVID and it took a while to get everything up and running. There were days that I was not sure that I'd made the right decision. There were days that I worried because I didn't bill anything that day, multiple days, I didn't bill anything. And so anytime I feel overwhelmed, like I think it's important to give yourself space. It's important to give yourself grace. And it's important to be like, you can feel stressed out. And I give myself that space, but then I'm also like, I'm also really, really thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for what I have. Yeah. Yeah. Even if the things I have stress me out sometimes.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
So per usual, we've provided no solutions, but we have had a good therapy session. So that's great.
I overshared, which is on brand for me.
That's
so
great.
You know.
But one thing I'll say is we've both kind of said, you know, the best part about being a solopreneur is that we know when we need the break and we can take the break when we need it. And we are officially in March.
It's Pisces season.
Pisces. And then it will turn into Aries.
And
when this airs, we will be after your birthday. So happy birthday, Eva.
Thank you.
Mine is later in the month. But the next episode, we are going to talk about birthday month and the things that we do to really kind of give back to ourselves in a way.
Yeah.
It sounds selfish, but it's not.
No, I have less weird things than the New Year's episode. So y'all.
Great. Yeah, I have less. Do you have a birthday simmer pot?
Well, I will now.
Now. All right, next episode, we'll get an update on what went into the simmer pot.
What did I do? I don't know. I mean, people are coming over. It'll make my house smell good.
There we go. You got it.
Okay, well, now I have the simmer pot.
So we apologize if we made you cry on this episode. Next episode, we'll come back in our happier tune because we're going to talk about our birthdays.
Well, as usual, thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast, and also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.